The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Good morning, Summit. Today's message, as we continue our study through some selective psalms, is coming to you from a few important locations through my life. I'm currently sitting on the back patio of my mom and dad's home, my childhood home, in Spartanburg, South Carolina. We moved into this house when I was 14. I've shared with many of you through the years that my personality, my wiring, is more of a looker forwarder as opposed to a looker backer. But over the past 7 or 8 years, I've intentionally made some decisions that have helped me grow in remembering. I've also discovered that life has a way of leading us in that direction anyway, doesn't it? The direction of remembering. There's a lot of people who fight that. Some people resist it for a number of different reasons. Maybe it's too painful to look back and remember. Maybe it's too sad. Maybe you would just say that you're too busy. Truth be told, if you were willing, maybe what you would acknowledge is you're just too proud or self-focused. Maybe for some other reason, but I've noticed that thankfulness has grown in me the more I take time to remember. As I stop and remember and think about my past, I can see and I can trace the faithfulness of God in my life. And that makes me thankful. Not just a nod to thankful, not a passing thankful, not an intellectual assent to thankful, but thankful. Overwhelmed with thankfulness because of the faithfulness of God towards me. And not because my life has been easy per se, or without bumps, without pain, because obviously it has. Actually, his faithfulness is so overwhelming because of who he has been and who he is in the midst of the hard things. I was reading through Twitter one day this past week, and Tim Keller tweeted, "The more you see your own flaws and sins, the more precious, electrifying, and amazing God's grace appears to you." I thought that was an excellent tweet, an encouraging thing to read in the midst of everything else that's kind of out there in the social media world. When I recall and look back, as far back as I can remember and see, all the way up till yesterday, even as we record this video on this porch today, I see his faithfulness. Now, one of the reasons I'm sitting on this patio is because it was here, this home, where God's faithfulness was talked about and lived out. I was able to observe it. Looking back, I can see this commitment through word and deed of my mom and dad and other family members speaking of God's faithfulness and care. No, it wasn't perfect, as in they aren't perfect, but it's also a part of what makes God's perfect faithfulness all the more unfathomable, and me all the more thankful. Psalm 78 speaks to this idea of intentionally recounting to younger generations the wonders and the glorious deeds of God. If you have your Bibles, turn in them this morning to Psalm 78 and allow me to read these first few verses. This is what it says in verse 1 of Psalm 78. "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. The verses I just read reiterate the fact that active remembering of the Lord's faithfulness isn't merely a rehearsal of facts. It must be accompanied by a life that corresponds to and lends credence to the truthfulness of these things that we're called to remember. I have a question for you to consider for just a moment before we continue on this morning. The question would be this: when you take time to look back and remember, who do you recall articulating the faithfulness of God to you? Think about that for a few seconds, and then we'll continue on. Think of a life that corresponds to and lends credence to the truthfulness of the faithfulness of God. I think not only of my mom and dad, but of their moms and dads, my grandparents. I'm sitting under the carport of my Nana's house, just two doors up from where my mom and dad live. Really quickly, if you're from up north, a carport is like a garage, but we just got tired along the way when we were building it and thought, this is good enough. The book of Psalms really is the hymn book of ancient Israel. 150 chapters, 150 songs. And they really do capture everything the children of Israel felt and processed as they walked through what they were walking through, from joyful shouts of praise to tearful lament. You can sense their emotion. And I think that's partly why all these years later, those of us that are children of God still do love and identify and relate to what's written here, what we read, what we've been studying week after week. You know, things that are articulated through these songs. One author I was reading said it this way: for the people of God of every age, the Psalms serve as prompts and as patterns in drawing near to God. And the song, the Psalm we're looking at today, is maybe, if you look in your study Bible, you'll see it called a historical psalm, as in it looks back at events from Israel's past. And in looking back, there is this challenge about recounting the faithfulness of God to their children so that their children don't forget about his faithfulness. And as we read through it this morning, I hope you heard a few things. I hope a few things jumped out. It's not really a pretty picture that is painted about their history, is it? Yet there is this beautiful picture captured of God's faithfulness in the midst of their unfaithfulness. Even in the first few verses, Asaph, who wrote this song, says in verse 4, "We will not hide them from their children, but to tell the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done." Did you see that? His glorious deeds, his might, wonders that he has done. And there was this expectation that fathers would teach their children. Verse 5 says, "He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children." verse 6 says, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children. When I read these verses, I'm actually reminded of Deuteronomy 6 and some very similar verses that we read there. And if you've been in or around the church, maybe you recall these verses from Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in their house and in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your head, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." The reason I read those verses to you today is because there is this idea that we see in Scripture to remember well and intentionally share and talk with our children, disciple our children in the ways of the Lord. And part of that recounting the faithfulness of God from generation to generation, right? That's why I love sitting in the places that I'm sitting today. Parents and grandparents and great-grandparents who I was fortunate enough to know and remember and hear part of their stories as well, sharing and talking about living out in front of me when and where and how the Lord had been and was being and is being faithful. They still do. Like, my grandpas are in heaven, but my parents and my grandmas and aunts and uncles speak and live in such a way that the faithfulness of God is highlighted. It is celebrated individually, yet when we come together as well. And when I look back and when I look around and observe those around me, I see the uniqueness and kindness of the Lord in regards of seeing this faithfulness play out through my family members. I think this is one of the sobering thoughts that arise from this psalm, Psalm 78. This idea that we really are only one generation away from not remembering, right? Whether it be those we know or have come to know, like missing out on specific ways that the Lord has been faithful. It's actually one of the negative lessons this psalm teaches us. If you study through verses 12 through 72, because I'm not going through all of it today, they're all about the recounting of things God did for Israel, from leading them through the Exodus and saving them from Pharaoh to them rebelling against God. And again, verse 5 says, "He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel." So God put a testimony in Jacob, which points us back to God's divine deliverance of his people. It's a monumental moment of God's faithfulness to his people, and he doesn't want them to forget it. Why? Because he wants the generations that will come to hear so that they too might know and put their trust in God. And the fact of the matter is, for so many of you that are listening in today, watching today, someone did that for you, didn't they? Someone, you can recount, someone spoke of God's faithfulness in their life, and the Lord used that in drawing you to himself. I was thinking this question as I was writing out my message for this week. This is the question that came to mind that I would love for you to consider for a moment. When was the last time you thanked the person who played an instrumental role in you coming to the Lord? When's the last time you thanked the person who played an instrumental role in you coming to know the Lord? Take just a moment and recall that and recount that if you would. We're now at the home of my other grandma. Super thankful for her in my life. I mentioned that my grandpas are in heaven. This is the grandpa that taught me to love golf. I'll always be indebted to him. He taught me that truly getting angry on the golf course is never acceptable, but neither is slow play. That hot dogs are always a sufficient lunch, and that Perry Mason was appointment television every time I was here. As I was studying this week and pondering this psalm, and knowing my opportunity to talk about it falls between two holidays that are just a few weeks apart, right? Where we celebrate moms and we celebrate dads. I was just reminded once again, this is what I desire and what I know so many of you desire for your kids and your grandkids and your friends. Like you desire for them to come to truly know God and put their full trust in Him. As a matter of fact, let me say this. If you're a kid listening today, did you know that your mom and dad are praying for you? They're praying that you would follow Jesus with your life. That even though they aren't perfect moms and dads, they really do desire for you to know God, and that God has been faithful to them and cared for them because of Jesus. I would even invite you to ask them, Mom and Dad, tell me about how God has been faithful to you. Tell me how God has been faithful to our family. Parents, grandparents, sons and daughters, cousins, aunts, uncles, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. Like what a humbling reminder to us as children of God that I have the Word of God, so do you. I know the works of God, so do you. I have experienced the faithfulness of God, so have you. I'm empowered by the Spirit of God, so are you. And I'm motivated by the love of God, as are you. We have everything we need to declare and demonstrate the knowledge and the glory of God to the next generation, so that they might know and put their trust in Him. In these first 8 verses here in Psalm 78, that really is the point of remembering well, intentionally sharing, right? Like if you look back at verse 7 in your Bibles, it says, so that they should see their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. So it's not just a head knowledge, right? It's not just a head knowledge of God that we want to pass on. It's a trust in Him with our lives. And what shows that they, and we for that matter, have come to trust in Him is obeying Him, following Him with our life, keeping His commandments, because He does love us, not to earn His love, as opposed to their ancestors. Verse 8 says, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. And that is the story of so many throughout the Bible, and even today, a heart that is not steadfast. And yet in the midst of their unsteadfastness, we see the faithfulness of God. If you turn over in this psalm to verses 35 through 38, it says this, they remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer, but they flattered Him with their mouths. They lied to Him with their tongues. Their heart was not steadfast towards Him. They were not faithful to His covenant. Yet He, verse 38 says, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity and did not destroy them. He restrained His anger often and did not stir up all of His wrath. There you see those words again, not steadfast, honoring God with their lips, but their hearts far from Him. And yet God is what? He's compassionate. The task of passing this testimony about God's faithfulness through the recounting of His persistence in spite of Israel's failures would have in many ways been a very painful one. It's an active rehearsal of some of the most difficult moments along with the real beautiful ones in the history of this people. And so I do want to remind you that you aren't defined by your lineage, especially when it's an ugly one, right? These verses show us the call to recognize the good and the bad of our lineage as we consider our own faith, as we consider our own stories. But these verses really are a statement about God's faithfulness more than Israel's failures. You see, when we aren't ultimately defined by who our parents or grandparents or aunts or uncles were, we aren't defined by the lineage that is ours. We are responsible to engage it. We are responsible to trust the Lord with it. We are responsible to pursue faithfulness to Jesus in light of it as we continue to walk in obedience, as we continue to learn, and as we continue to grow. I think a question I would love for us to consider this morning would be, in what ways are we tempted to minimize God's faithfulness towards us? Because I think there are moments when we do that. There is this temptation to minimize how God has been. Maybe it's a time where you're comparing yourself to other people. Maybe it is a time when you look at your lineage and you don't think it is as it should be. And all you can see is the heartache and the hard things. What are the ways that we are tempted to minimize God's faithfulness towards us? Take a moment and think about that, if you would. Significant places in my life that I was encouraged and grew in observing and seeing the faithfulness of God in my life and in the life of others is this local church here, Fellowship Greenville. I served on staff here for almost a decade after college, but before my college days, I attended here with my mom and dad. Faithfully, regularly, we were here. Mind you, that's a 30-minute drive from Spartanburg in each direction. But a commitment by my parents to have me around others that would also speak into my life of the faithfulness of God. You see, it's important to consider that this psalm, while it certainly applies to families in a biological sense, is more broadly a call to a body of believers to faithfully remember and then pass on to the next generation. And that happened here for me, and I'm incredibly thankful for that. If you look at the end of Psalm 78, we read this in verse 70. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. And he, with an upright heart, shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. So while the psalm recounts the unfaithfulness of Israel, it still ends with God building his temple and also choosing for them a leader, King David. And guess what? Even though the psalmist encouraged them not to forget, they kept forgetting. And history kept repeating itself. And king after king that followed in the footsteps of David saw the same thing. Until we find someone in the line of David, Jesus, who in the words of Tim Keller, the truer and better David, the truer and better shepherd king, came along. And I do think that's our great hope, right? And dads and moms and people who want to point, as dads and moms who want to point our children and others, our grandchildren, those we do life with, towards the faithfulness of God, we get the opportunity to point them to Jesus. And I want to take just a moment as we conclude our time today to talk about that. What does it look like for you and I to point people to Jesus? How do you continually recount the faithfulness of God and point those that you have influence with towards Jesus? I would recommend a couple of things. Number one, set aside time. If you want to think well about the faithfulness of God, for sure, the Spirit of God at any moment can bring His faithfulness to mind. But what would it look like for you and I to set aside time to contemplate His faithfulness? Scripture is full of His faithfulness. Read it, meditate upon it, capture it through writing and through journaling. The other thing, I've already alluded to it this morning, but I would say it again in this moment, is say thank you. If you have a heritage that has been faithful to recount to you the faithfulness of God, let them know how thankful you are. Write them, call them. I have taken multiple opportunities through the years to send a note to my parents, to my grandparents who are still living, to my in-laws, to others that are close to me, simply to say thank you. Thank you for being the type of people to recount on a regular basis the faithfulness of God in your life to me. And then lastly, I would just encourage you with this. Let it begin with you. Maybe you don't have a family heritage where it was regularly talked about the faithfulness of God, but it can begin with you. When others in your family trace the family lineage and it lands on you, may you be the one who faithfully and intentionally recounted the faithfulness of God for your family and for your close friends. May your kids and grandkids and great-grandkids sit on the front porches and back porches and carports of your home and recount what they heard spoken of and what they observed being lived out as they rubbed shoulders with you, as they watched you, as they listened to you. Let it begin with you. May they know of the church families that you were a part of, like Summit and many others, where there was a faithful community of believers that spoke of the faithfulness of God. So many of you, I watch you week after week or summer after summer when you have a little more time with family and extended family. You bring them to Summit. You've shared with us, I want my grandkids around other kids who know and love Jesus. I want them to see and hear and observe maybe what they don't get to hear, see and observe on a regular basis. That is you being intentional of pointing to the faithfulness of God and a life that is a legacy for His glory.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.